You are never going to believe this, but Jerry Rapoto and his team made multiple trades at and before the trade deadline. I mean, can you believe it? The man who's made his livelihood on trading, traded first and traded often. Welcome back, everyone, to the Chaos Ball Podcast. And this is the trade deadline special. Like 2 days after the trade deadline has passed, 3 days, actually. We're here, and as I said, Jerry Rapoto was quite active. This one was impressive, I'd say, the time in which he made these trades. Now, he has a Jerry Rapoto, that is. He has a way of trading and a habit of doing it right after I record a podcast, and it happened again. Now, I should have seen this one coming. Like, to be honest with you, like, this one was more predictable than most. It's not like the couple trades he had made in the off season, and it was like hours after I recorded or the same day I dropped the podcast. He's done that multiple times. This one at least was more predictable. I mean, I recorded the night of the 25th, and the trade deadline was the 30th in the afternoon. So, like, you know, nothing had really happened at that point. And then that night he makes the big trade, and maybe the biggest one of the deadline. 3-4 days before the deadline even passes, in very Jerry Rapoto fashion, he just jumped to the market. And that could have been predicted, and I'm sure some did predict, because he is not a man who's just going to wait around. I think everyone knew he was going to be active, and he was. Boy. Was he active? But this episode, mainly, I will be breaking down the trades, what they got, the outlook. I'll give a grade, because that's what everyone does for the trade deadline. But I'm going to grade it on a different scale than most people would. I'll give you a traditional letter grade, and then a letter grade out of Jerry Rapoto's. And then if I have time at the end of the episode, I'll talk about what's going on with the Major League team. Because, I mean, man, past week, playing a lot of sock-related baseball teams on the East Coast and the Midwest. And some guys are playing well, some guys are not playing well. The team's really hurt right now. But that'll be tacked on at the end of the episode. The bulk of this will be the trading that Jerry did. But right before I get into the trades and the new names on the Seattle Mariners roster, I want to check back in with the Mets comparison I made last week. I made this comparison about the Seattle Mariners to the 2015 Mets last week. If you haven't listened to that, go back and listen. It's probably a good 20 minutes of last week's podcast, maybe even 25, talking about the similarities between that Mets team that made a run to the World Series and the current 2024 Seattle Mariners. And the week that followed was, did they listen to me or something? I mean, what it boiled down to there was they had some underperformance in the offense with a great pitching staff, and their offense also just frankly wasn't amazing. And then they go out and acquire Yoenis Cespedes, the best offensive bat at that 2015 deadline, and get Tyler Clippard to shore up their bullpen. And then their offense just goes on an absolute tear led by Yoenis Cespedes. And the Mariners traded for one of the best bats at the deadline on Thursday night, and then they go out, they beat the White Sox 10-0. They beat the White Sox 6-3 twice to sweep the Sox in Chicago, and then they go to Boston and they score 7 runs in a loss. They score 10 runs in a win, and then they only mustered 2 the other day. Came back to earth a little bit, reminded everyone that they are still, in fact, the Seattle Mariners, but their offense came alive after trading for Randy Rosarena, which gave me immediate thoughts about that Mets comparison, and maybe it was just kind of a vibe boost. They were also going to play the White Sox, which, you know, I'm glad they swept. I mean, putting a lot of runs on Garrett Crochet and Eric Fetty's heads is no small feat. Those two have been great this year, so it's, but like, the vibes of the White Sox are terrible and they should have won those games. But it shouldn't be discounted that they just beat the White Sox. No, they were offensively pretty damn good against some good pitchers the White Sox threw out there. And maybe it was just a vibe shift. They trade for Randy Rosarena, and bam, the clubhouse vibes immediately go up. It's like, this team's buying in. We're getting a fun, good bat to plop right in the middle of this lineup, despite Julio and JP being hurt and not traveling with the team. I think there was a visible bump, not only in offensive production, but just general vibes. And I players have talked about that is not a fake thing. Like, it's a very real thing at the trade deadline, and it's vice versa. When your team is selling, it doesn't feel good. You just kind of have to suck it up and keep playing. When your team's buying, I think it can kind of lift everyone up, especially for a team like the Mariners, who limped into this trade deadline and did not start the second half of the year great coming out of the All-Star break. So they needed this trade both for purposes of bolstering a bad lineup, but also vibes. And we know how important those are in baseball. But I just wanted to check in on the Mets comparison, because Mets, impact reliever, great bat at the deadline. Mariners, great bat at the deadline, impact reliever, you know, two other players as well. But, like, I don't know. What if their offense just goes on an absolute tear in August and I can continue crowning myself for making that comparison right before it happened? What if it happens? But enough about the 2015 Mets. I don't need to talk more about that. I am going to talk about the trades and the players that they acquired now. So let's just get into it. Thursday night, I'm sitting on my couch putting the finishing touches on last week's podcast, getting it ready to go live on Friday. And it's like 9:30, I think, if you're on the west coast of the United States. And a friend from work texts me, who we talk about baseball fairly often. All I see is Randy Rosarena to the Mariners in all caps. And it's because I hadn't turned my notifications on for passing yet. I've had my notifications for Twitter off all year in an attempt to try and spend less time on that app. But I was going to turn them on around trade deadline season, because obviously I need pass and bomb notifications immediately. That's my exception to the no notifications rule, is trade deadline, we're okay with notifications. But I had forgot to turn them on at that point, because again, I should have had them on, but whatever. I got a text from my coworker, and it was Randy Rosarena to the Mariners, and I get so hyped. I was so excited. I didn't even care what the return was. I just, immediate reaction was like, just excitement, pure joy, because Randy is awesome. Like, regardless of what he's doing on the field this year, and we'll get into it later, but I know he's a good hitter, but on top of that, it's just like Julio Rodriguez and Randy Rosarena and fuck it, Victor Robles, just as like an outfield trio, is insanely fun to me, and should be to you. That's insanely fun. Randy is one of the greatest playoff performers of all time by a lot of stats, which is insane. He put on an amazing WBC performance for Mexico. His story is amazing, getting out of Cuba, going to Mexico, and then landing in the United States for baseball. Just like all around good dude, I've heard as well. Just seems like a great fella. So I was so excited. Didn't even care what the return was. I'm at that point where I genuinely didn't care. And then the return came out, and I was like, oh, they freaking fleeced. But then we saw more guys get traded, and less top prospects were going at this trade deadline. Like, not very many top prospects. Like, true top prospects really got dealt at all. So I still felt good about the trade, but I was just surprised at the return. But then, like, 5 days later after the trade deadline was over, I was like, oh, okay, that's a very fair return. I think it's... I've had plenty of time to sit on this, and I still think it's a fair return, because they traded Aiden Smith and Brody Hopkins and a player to be named later, which is looming very large right now. It still hasn't been announced, but whatever the player to be named later is, I still think this is a successful trade for both sides. Aiden Smith, I really liked. I think Aiden Smith, you saw Aiden Smith and Brody Hopkins, and I think a lot of people were saying, oh, fleece immediately, and I was one of the people... And there were quite a few others on the internet that were like, hold, slow down. Like, those are good players, because we have to remember, prospect rankings are static. Prospect rankings do get updated in the middle of the year, but they are not a living, breathing prospect ranking. And if you had re-ranked Mariners prospects from the start of the season to right now, like even after they got re-ranked in like June or July, Aiden Smith and Brody Hopkins were flying up the prospect boards for this team. Aiden Smith, center fielder, fourth rounder in the 2023 draft out of high school, really came along well. I had predicted he was landing on a top 100 list next season, and I think he still will do that. And then Brody Hopkins was a sixth rounder in 2023 and just was kind of like an analytics darling in the minor leagues, just a floor of back of the rotation starter probably. And actually, no, his floor is probably solid relief pitcher. His floor is probably a relief pitcher with good stuff. His ceiling is like maybe, you know, a three starter, but I think his true ceiling and what he might end up for with the Rays is a elite back of the bullpen guy with insane stuff. And going from the Mariners to the Rays is an amazing thing for him. He went from one great organization at developing that to another great organization at developing that. He didn't get traded to the Rockies or something. So that's really good for his development. I'm going to be following him closely. The way scouts were talking about him and his stuff and just the videos I've seen of him look awesome. So they're no slouch. These were good prospects, not blue chippers, but I think both of them are likely going to end up probably being pretty good for the Rays. I think Brody Hopkins I'm confident in more than Aiden Smith, but that's just because Aiden Smith is a high schooler, more volatile and more swing and miss in his profile, I think. And then the player to be named later, we'll see. The Rays are historically really good at nailing these player to be named laters. I based on what went at the deadline, I don't think it's going to be a Harry Ford. It's not going to be any of their top guys, but it's probably going to be, I'd guess, another pitcher. The Mariners have quite a few good pitchers in their org right now. I'm thinking it'll be a lower, like single A, high A pitcher, but we'll see. Overall, I really liked this trade. And to kick off the trade deadline, this was basically the first big one that went. And this is a good one. They got one of the best bats at the deadline. I think it looked better as the deadline went on. And I'm rating this one an 8 out of 10 Jerry DePoto's. Normally, if Randy Rosarena was on a different team, I'd be giving it a 7 out of 10 DePoto's. But this one gets 8 DePoto's because it's a trade with the Rays, and that's an automatic plus 1 DePoto in my book. Any trade with the Rays counts for more points because they just cannot stop trading with each other. It's I think there's been 18 trades with the Rays since he took over about a decade ago, which is doesn't sound like a lot, but that is a lot to trade with one of the other 29 teams over a decade. That's pretty astounding. And then everyone was pretty elated, and then the next day Jerry said, hey, keep it freaking going. I'm trading for Jimmy Garcia. Friday afternoon, Jimmy Garcia gets announced to the Mariners, and I was so excited. I think I mentioned him. I wasn't as excited about him as Randy, but I was pretty hyped because I had mentioned him in that trade deadline extravaganza, or the naming dudes extravaganza, I should say, about a potential addition for the Mariners or any team looking for a bullpen help. And he seemed to be flying under the radar despite putting in a great year. And him getting swapped just for Jonathan Class A, I really liked Class A, but there was so much risk in his like prospect profile. This is a trade you do 100 times out of 100, especially if you're a contending team, and especially if you're the Mariners. They need this arm. We've already seen him throw 3 innings, I believe, with the team, scoreless, like 3 strikeouts. He's going to be really important down the stretch and if they make the playoffs, especially with Gregory Santos seemingly still dealing with health issues, and he'll take some of the time away from Munoz on the mound, so we don't overuse Munoz. And it's just a really good move. And seeing what relievers of his caliber went for on deadline day, this is an A+. Not on the DePoto scale, but just a trade in general that, like, Tanner Scott, man, I would have loved Tanner Scott, but what he went for in that trade with the Padres, a classic Preller trade, was insane. Like, the top relievers at this deadline went for so much more than Jonathan Class A, and Jimmy Garcia, spelled Yimmy, has been as good as all of those guys. Maybe not you know, stuff plus darlings like a Tanner Scott, but he's been so good and his peripherals back it up. So this is a great trade for the Mariners, and they give up, again, Jonathan Glass, outfield depth essentially this season, like maybe a pretty solid everyday major league player down the line in the corners outfield. If he figures out the swing and miss, I mean, the raw tools are there. And I really liked him as a player, but this is again, this is a trade you do 100 times out of 100 if you're the Mariners. So this is a, man, I don't even know what on the DePoto scale what I'd rate this one. I'm giving it a 7. I'm giving it a 7 DePotos out of 10 because I didn't personally see this coming, and it's not as DePoto-y of a trade as I expected, you know? This DePoto scale is not how good the trade was. It's how Jerry DePoto the trade was. And A-plus on any other scale. Great trade. No notes. And then he made Ryan Stanek he traded to the Mets for a minor league player named Rylan Thomas. I got nothing about this, really. I don't know what the Mets wanted in Ryan Stanek, and he had an awful first outing. And I think the Mariners just traded him because he was scuffling, and I just don't know if they liked his profile, and I think they just were done with them. I think after the Jimmy trade, it's like, we just need to get rid of some innings here. We like what we're seeing from Colin Snyder right now. We like what we're seeing from Andres Munoz right now. In their minds, probably Gregory Santos was looking healthier and healthier when they made this trade, but now he's not. Still, this one is a 2 out of 10 on the DePoto scale. This one was weird and random, and that sounds like Jerry DePoto, but this one was not. Just trading a reliever for, like, an unknown minor league player. Sure, whatever. I just didn't anticipate Stanek moving at all. Really interesting, and it makes some sense looking back, because he was just kind of a late addition after Brash went down for the year and Santos was out for months as well. And he was just kind of a late throw-in signing. So, adios, Ryan Stanek. And then, a day before the trade deadline, Ty France got traded. He is off the team officially. This was expected in some capacity. I didn't think a team would actually trade for him. I think the Mariners are paying, like, I want to say they're paying the rest of his salary this season. In any case, they already paid, you know, 60-70% of it. But Ty France to the Cincinnati Reds for Andrew Salcedo, a catcher who is just catching depth. Oh, I should have mentioned, he's replacing Jacob Sharp. That was also in the Blue Jays trade for Jimmy Garcia. But he's like a low-level minor league catcher who wasn't like a top prospect, so it's not, that's not much in terms of a haul for Jimmy Garcia. So Andrew Salcedo seems to just be replacing that low-level minor league catching depth. And I guess they got something out of Ty France. This one is a 5 out of 10 on the Jerry DePoto scale. This is like it's a 5 DePoto trade. It's like, sure, we saw it coming. He was going to be off the team. This needed to be done. I just think it's not like a 10 out of 10 because I didn't think it'd come to this with Ty France, to be quite honest with you. Did not expect that at all. And I didn't expect a team to trade for him. I'm surprised the Reds did. I mean, if anywhere his bat is going to play the best, it would be in Cincinnati or Coors. So I wish him the best in his endeavors. And yeah, I don't have much more to say. I mean, salute, farewell. I talked about him last week because we knew he was going to be off the team. So I did my Ty French spiel. I just expected it to be outrighting and then electing free agency rather than trade. But in Jerry DePoto fashion, he made the trade. So that earns him 5 DePoto points. And then there was clamoring the day before. We went Thursday, Randy, Friday, Jimmy, nothing on Saturday, nothing on Sunday, and then Monday rolls around, and he makes his trade for Ty France, or trading away Ty France, and then everyone's clamoring. The fans are chomping at his ankles, Jerry's that is, to make another trade for the big one. Randy was definitely a big trade, but do another trade, Jerry. And he did, for a Blue Jays first baseman, Justin Turner. this one hit me like a ton of bricks in a not good or bad way. It was a very medium ton of bricks. It was like, oh, okay, I guess. That was my reaction. I was like, I guess. Not exactly the Blue Jays first baseman that I wanted from Jerry to trade for, if I'm being honest here. But useful trade. Immediately I was just like, oh, this is okay. All right. Sure. Why not? And then with a couple more days to sit on it, I mean, this trade helps the team. The trade also makes sense now in the context of the broader deadline. And they give up RJ Schreck, which is a 2023 ninth rounder. So that's three players traded from that draft at the deadline. Maybe four, depending on who the player to be named later is in the Rays-Randy trade. But, I mean, this is also a trade that you definitely do. It's like, it's helpful. After they didn't trade again for any position players, I don't like it as much, but in a vacuum, this is a good trade for the Mariners to make because he can play first base, he can DH, he can play third base, and despite being the oldest player in the league, he's almost 40. I think he turns 40 after the World Series. He's still a pretty damn good hitter for that age. The slug, the power is not there. We're not going to get power from Justin Turner in the year 2024. But he can still hit. He's still a really good hitter, like in the context of him being that old and how long he's played. And the fact that he can play first and a little bit of third and DH is really helpful. And when they traded for him, I think he had like a 106 or 7 OPS plus or WRC plus. And it's like, that's fine. But in like the context of the Seattle Mariners, that would have been like what? The third best hitter on the team this year? In terms of that metric specifically, like, it's a sad state of affairs. I think, like, this is a good trade. It's not one you have to overthink. I just wish another trade came after it for a better bat. But Justin Turner is a helpful veteran. Like, this is a trade that is helpful. He's just, again, there's going to be no slugging, but he's a guy that can hit singles and get on base. He does not strike out very much. He walks a decent amount. He puts the ball in play a lot, which we saw in the Red Sox series. He had a pretty good opening series with the Mariners. He does something that the team has lacked this year, and it's put the ball in play and not strike out very much, and that's helpful. And take a lot of pitches. He's one of the leaders in the league in the amount of like pitches per at bat. Same with Randy Arozarena. So just from that context, it's going to make the Mariners lineup at least a little bit harder to pitch to. And it felt like the Mariners already kind of had that, but without like actually hitting well. But now it's going to be even harder for a starter to go like six innings, which it's like the funniest thing that starters have really struggled to go deep into games against the Mariners this season, despite just how bad they've been offensively. But this trade, listen, Justin Turner, he's going to be helpful. And grading this trade alone, this is a 9 out of 10 on the Jerry Dipoto scale right here. This is a classic Jerry trade. He trades for a pretty decent veteran who's not an elite bat, but will definitely help the team. And I wouldn't be surprised if he just fell off a cliff completely after hitting in Seattle, because that could totally happen. And it's like it's patchwork over a larger whole. And is that not what Jerry Dipoto kind of stands for? It's not the perfect trade, but it's a damn near perfect one. I said, how many times did I mention Mark Canna's name when I was talking about the Mariners trade deadline? I was like, it's a trade Jerry Dipoto would 100% make. It would improve the team. It would just be a little bit of an underwhelming trade. And this is that, but it's Justin Turner instead of Mark Canna. It's basically the same thing. They're not exactly the same player, but they're damn close. They play different positions, but you get my point. This was spiritually the Mark Canna trade that I had talked about, but in the form of Justin Turner. So, and then we get to deadline day. That was before deadline day, and it was like, okay, they have like 24 more hours to do something else. I think most people on Twitter were like, hey, listen, they can get, their options are open. Not a whole lot of pieces had moved by then. I mean, this trade deadline did not really pick up until the actual deadline day. And so there was expectations that the team might make one more, two more trades, be more active in adding more offense, because it was like, Randy, okay, Justin Turner, okay, that's improvement. One more bat, and it's like, oh, this might be like perfect, like an A-plus deadline. No. JT Chargois was the answer on deadline day. From the Marlins, a former Mariner and JT Chargois comes to the team for Will Schomburg, who was an undrafted free agent who signed last season, I believe. I don't have much to say about this. JT Chargois, it's bullpen depth. His results have been awesome this year. The peripherals are ugly. I think he has, I don't have the numbers in front of me because I didn't want to talk too much about JT Chargois besides him being a former Mariner, but he has like a 1.4 ERA with a 5.2 FIP or something like that. So the numbers will come back to earth a little bit, but I think he's fine. And if anyone is going to like tweak him and fix whatever that FIP issue is looking like right now, I haven't done much of a dive into his numbers. It'll be the Mariners. I think they could help him for sure. And he's familiar with the team at least. He's been here before. I will say, I don't think he hasn't been here in the Danny Farquhar bullpen coach era, though, so that's intriguing. But this one, you ready for this? That's a 10 out of 10. That's a 10 out of 10 Jerry DePoto trade. That's a 10 DePotos out of 10. You want to know why? It's a former Mariner, and he made a trade with a Florida team. And it's really underwhelming. And it's a bullpen arm that if they get good shit out of JT Chargois after what his FIP looks like for the rest of the season, it's an 11 out of 10 DePotos. This is a Jerry DePoto trade. Like, this felt like a trade that simultaneously was like, okay, sure, bullpen depth, but also this felt like a trade where Jerry on deadline day was not getting a big deal done and picked up the phone as piranhas were eating the corpse and carcass of the 2024 Miami Marlins and said, hey, give me something. I'm itching. I'm itching. The fan base is itching for a trade. I'm itching for a trade. Let's make it. That's why it's a 10 out of 10 to Podos. And that is a trade deadline. They received Randy Rosarena, Jamie Garcia, Justin Turner, and JT Chargois for the big league team. And then two lower level minors guys for Ryan Stanek and Ty France. And before I truly grade this trade and talk more about what this means for the team, the fact that they could improve the team pretty meaningfully in Randy Rosarena and Justin Turner, like offensively, I guess, with three later round guys of the 2023 draft is a big success in development for this team. RJ Schreck, sure, he was having a good season as a ninth rounder. Turning him for Justin Turner, that's great. But Aiden Smith and Brody Hopkins as a fourth and sixth rounder of 2023, the tracks that they were on, they were developing really well. The fact that you can draft those guys and a year later flip them for Randy Rosarena, who is a good bat with two more years of team control of arbitration after this year, that is a huge developmental success for this organization. That I've talked about it ad nauseum, how important it is to develop in-house because of situations like this. It's why the Dodgers are always consistently good. They can they have guys who come up through their organization to impact the big league club as Dodgers, or they have all of these guys in the minors as trade chips because they've developed them, and they're not picking in the high rounds. When is the last time they've picked in like lower than 20th in a round in the MLB draft? They've been that good, and it's all with later round guys. It's developmental wins across the board for that team, and that is why they can go trade for a Mookie Betts. That's why they can go trade for a Freddie Freeman. That's why they can trade for Trey Turner and Max Scherzer at the trade deadline to push for a World Series. That is why they can do that. And this Aiden Smith, Brody Hopkins for Randy Rosarena trade is a perfect example of a big success for an organization. So I will give flowers to Jerry DePoto and everyone in that org. The development apparatus they've set up is great. And for this reason, it's super important to the team. But now, was this deadline good? This was a 10 out of 10 Jerry DePoto deadline, just in terms of trades. He made, what, 6 trades leading up to the deadline? Some big, some very small. I mean, he was probably not talking to his family at all. He was just on the phone. That is bliss for him. But realistically, I have many thoughts on this trade deadline. The first thing I will say is he moved early on. The Randy trade looks good and looks fair in the context of the trade deadline. And I want to reiterate, he moved early on Jimmy Garcia, an impact reliever, and it aged beautifully. Genuinely, if they made that same trade, Jimmy Garcia for whatever on the Seattle Mariners, if he made that trade on trade deadline day, I think you would have had to give up a top 15 prospect the way relievers were going that day. Like, it was astounding. Like, he probably would have had to give up, like, it probably would have been Michael Arroyo or something, or Michael Morales, Teddy McGraw, Ben Williamson, like in the 10 to 15 prospect rankings grade. I think you are like, yeah, that's what it probably would have been. It's crazy. So the Jimmy Garcia trade aged beautifully, I will say. But the trade deadline, my overall thoughts. In the context of the broader MLB landscape, this is a A-plus deadline. Just looking at what the rest of the league did, and you get maybe the best bat available, one of the best relievers available without giving up that much, and you get another helpful veteran and a bullpen depth for not very much either. Compared to, there weren't that many teams that meaningfully improved too much. There were a lot of teams who did some very helpful moves, but there was no bombshells. And the fact that you get one of the best bats and one of the best relievers at the deadline is, again, in the context of what every other team did, it's an A-plus deadline. They might have been the most improved team at the deadline this year. That is, like, it was tremendous work to get those guys. Even in just a vacuum of any year in MLB history with the trade deadline in place, getting a impact bat, an impact reliever, a helpful veteran bat, and bullpen depth is also basically an A-plus trade deadline. Like, that is what you're looking to do. You're looking for impact. You get a middle-of-the-order bat and a back-of-the-bullpen guy and a helpful veteran who's a pretty good hitter and has plenty of league and playoff experience. That is, in any year, like, basically an A-plus deadline. But then you look at it in the context of the 2024 Seattle Mariners, and I think this is like a B. I think it's a B deadline. I think, again, they definitely improved. I think Randy Rosarena is going to help tremendously. I think Jimmy Garcia is going to help tremendously. I think Justin Turner is going to be helpful, and he's at least better than some of the slop they've got in the lineup right now. And JT Chargois is going to throw innings in the bullpen, sure. I think that's a good deadline, but I think they needed another bat. I really think they did. I don't think Randy Rosarena and Justin Turner is enough, given who is in the lineup right now, given what lineups they're putting out. Simply put, I don't think they improved the offense enough. It's definitely improved, but I don't think it's enough. I don't think it's enough to minimize the risk of another guy getting hurt or underperformance from more of the guys on the team. So I still think it was good. I'm going to give it a B with all the context in mind. I just think the current Mariners team needed another bat. And they were out there, but they didn't really end up moving. And Jerry DePoto did, of course, have comments on that. Just pulling up a couple of quotes here. Jerry DePoto, this was a Ryan Divish tweet. He said, Jerry DePoto said he was stunned that none of the top 100 prospects were traded. He said in their meetings they expected it would be the cost for certain players. And he also said, from Adam Jude on Twitter, DePoto said Mariners were not particularly close on another deal. This is about the deadline day specifically. But he said that they had, quote, irons in the fire, on other infield bats and didn't end up moving. Yandy Diaz, presumably, is what Adam Jude added there. And Yandy Diaz is exactly the name I wanted to bring up. He was the name of the deadline day. It was like the Rays are shopping him around. It would have made sense for them to trade him. It made sense that they didn't if they weren't blown away by the return. I trust the Rays in getting as much value as they can. And so I kind of applaud them if they weren't blown away by any of the offers to not accept them. They didn't have to, and they did it. But he was the name of the deadline. It was like the Yankees were looking at him, the Astros were looking at him, and it was the Mariners. It was like those were the three that were inquiring. And of those teams, like the Astros, I think everyone probably knew they didn't have the horses to do it. After they made that Yusei Kikuchi trade, which, boy, I think Yusei Kikuchi is probably going to be helpful for them the next 2 months. But, God, did they give up a lot. After that trade, it's like they didn't have anyone to trade. The Rays were looking for pitching, and it's like their prospect list is tapped, and they weren't going to trade from their big league pitching. They just traded for big league pitching. So I think everyone knew the Astros were not going to have the horses to trade for Yandy Diaz. But the Yankees and the Mariners definitely could have, and the Mariners probably have the most attractive package, potential package for Yandy. But he didn't end up moving. And those comments from Jerry Dipoto just really pissed me off. He was basically like, yeah, well, the guys we were looking at didn't end up moving, like Vladdy or like Yandy. I'll just use those two as an example, even like Luis Robert. It's like those guys didn't end up moving, so it was like, you know, they didn't end up moving. What are you going to do? Like, none of the top prospects were moved. I'm surprised by that. Jerry, my man, you could have been the one to trade top 100 prospects, dude. Like, this is my... the more he speaks, the more he pisses me off. Because he acts like he was a passive bystander in something he could have actively participated in. He was like, oh, man, yeah, none of the big names were moved. None of the top prospects were moved. I was super surprised by that. You know, we had irons on the fire, but just couldn't get the deal done. It's like, brother, you could have been the one to trade those prospects is all I'm saying. It's like he acts like it's that. I tweeted this out. It's like that the tweet about Biden. It's like Biden just keeps tweeting like he doesn't know who the president is. Like Jared Poto talks like he couldn't have made a huge impact move on the deadline day and talks about it like it's a success that it didn't happen for another team. That is enraging to me. Like, oh, Yandy didn't move and Vladdy, they didn't actually get traded, so, you know, it doesn't look that bad that we didn't trade for him. That is loser mentality. That is unserious mentality. A lot of people are calling this deadline amazing. I think it's a good deadline. They needed another bat. Yandy Diaz would have been amazing for this team. Yandy Diaz would fit so perfectly in this lineup. He would complement everything the lineup does poorly, and he has team control. They have the prospects to do it. And yeah, it's like he held on to basically all of his top prospects. And it's like, I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. I don't really care at present what some of these prospects are going to do in 2026 and 2027. Genuinely, I do not care. In a lineup that yesterday's game started Jason Vossler in right field, Mitch Garver at catcher, and Cal Raleigh at DH, both of your catchers playing in a game. Leo Rivas came into this game. Luke Raley played center field. Cade Marlowe came in. Mitch Haniger also came in. All of those guys are currently on the team, and a serious organization would not be employing them. And Julio and JP, they're hurt, yes. So JP is out for, I think they probably should have traded for a DeJong or a stopgap there, because I don't know what Leo Rivas is going to give you. I don't like Dylan Moore starting at shortstop for defensive purposes, even if he's okay on offense. He had a good Red Sox series. I think there probably should have been that, but I think they just, like, if he gave up four top 10 prospects for Yandy Diaz, I would be applauding him right now. Genuinely. A lot of people would be like, that was an overpay. You gotta overpay sometimes for real impact bats when your team needs them. When your team needs them, and the team needs them. Looking ahead, Julio is coming back soon. So presumably when Julio comes back, it's Cade Marlowe or it's probably going to be Cade Marlowe. It's Cade Marlowe who gets sent down. And so let's look towards like September when JP comes back, which is basically all of August. He might be out. When he comes back, who do you send down? Leo Rivas, probably. That leaves a lot more playing time for Dylan Moore, Mitch Garver, Jason Vossler, and Mitch Haniger. More playing time than they should be getting. That is part of the point here, is the opportunity cost of not trading for another good bat is the fact that you have to keep employing Mitch Haniger. You have to keep trying to have Mitch Garver hit. And you have to keep putting him at catcher and Cal DHing and risking one of them getting hurt playing two catchers in the same game. I like Josh Rojas, but I don't know if I'd want him starting at third base every day, but he's going to be for the rest of the season. I just, in the context of the Mariners, they needed another bat. They can't keep trotting out these lineups with these names. Like, Mitch Haniger does not belong on any contending team right now, as if they want to be serious about it. Mitch Garver should not be playing more than twice a week right now. He should be realistically the backup catcher who gets the occasional DH rep against lefties. Jason Vossler should not be starting in right field. Dylan Moore should not be starting at shortstop. I get the injuries. I get the injuries are happening, but God, and then Jerry comes out and he's like, man, I was surprised the big names didn't move. Who could have been responsible for that? It's like, I get no other teams traded, but I would have liked to overpay for a Yandy Diaz or a Vlad Jr. I don't know if Vladdy was going to get traded, but Yandy definitely was attainable. Anyone is attainable on the Rays if you butter them up with prospects. So that is my two cents. They didn't improve enough offensively. And like, what happens, like, Victor Robles is hurt, but what happens when Victor Robles' BABIP isn't 500 anymore, as much as I've loved this run? What happens when Victor Robles has a 290 BABIP at the end of August and his production is cratered? Hopefully Julio comes back and makes up for it. I love Randy. I think he's going to be really helpful. I just think they needed one more. They needed at least one more. Realistically, one more great bat. And then another, like, Paul DeJong guy who can play shortstop type of trade. And that just didn't happen. And it's a little upsetting that it didn't happen. You have a generational pitching staff, and it's the time to say fuck it and throw a bunch of prospects out there to get real elite hitters and try to go for it this year to win the division, to make a deep run in the playoffs. It is the time to do that. And just because the other deadline, like the other teams, were kind of tepid on doing it, doesn't mean you can't. So that is what frustrates me, is that Jerry Dipoto acts like he couldn't have done anything when he totally could have. But the deadline as a whole, depending on the way you look at it, it was bad or good. There were a lot of trades on deadline day. Like, the volume of trades was a lot, but no real big moves. I mean, the best bats who moved in and around the trade deadline was Randy. It was Isak Paredes, and that's basically it, right? A lot of relievers, like Tanner Scott got moved, Jack Flaherty got moved. But really none of the best players potentially available got moved. Like Eric Crochet, Luis Robert, Tarik Skubal, who I never thought was going to get moved. Like Vladdy, Bo Bichette, like Yandy, Brandon Lau. None of those guys got... Pete Fairbanks, like none of those guys got traded. And I think it was a bad deadline for that reason. It was a lot of teams marginally improving, but there's no incentive for risk from GMs anymore with the three wild cards. There is no incentive to say fuck it and do a Prellery type of trade that's like four top 10 prospects for Yandy Diaz, because you don't have to be very good to make the playoffs anymore. That is what I think it boils down to. I guess the Jazz trade was also a big one. That was probably the other best bat to move. But still, that's pretty underwhelming for a trade deadline. Like, again, it was a lot. It was a lot of moves. It was a lot of teams swapping strengths, which is good. But ultimately, it was not a good deadline in my eyes, because the bar for a playoff team is so much lower now. If a GM, GMs are looking at their jobs. They're trying to win, but they're also trying to please their owner and keep their job. And if you make a trade, a big risky trade with a lot of prospects for a team, and it doesn't go well, it's not going to reflect well in your job review at the end of the year. Whereas if you kind of just marginally improve, sneak into the playoffs as a second wild card, maybe make a run, but hold on to your top prospects that you can sell the fans on, that you can sell your ownership on. Like, look at the future. I held on to these guys because they're going to be good in a year or two, really good. I think that's what's going on. Like, that's an easier thing for GMs to do rather than make a big, splashy, risky trade to really go for it. Like, there was no team this year at this trade deadline that was like, I am trying to be the absolute best I can be. It's like, I'm going to improve these spots, and that's important, but there was no team that was like, screw it, man. I'm giving up five prospects for Vladdy. There was no team that did that. Like, the Orioles didn't give up Heston Kjerstad, Kobe Mayo, and Connor Norby for Garrett Crochet, even though maybe they should have, but they don't have to. They marginally improved their pitching staff, and they're going to probably coast to a decent playoff spot because they didn't need to, you know, improve a whole lot. Some people I think were like, this was a great deadline. There was a lot of moves. I disagree. It's just a lot of slop getting into the playoffs now. And that's my problem with it, is it lowers the bar of competition. Since you don't have to be as good to get into the playoffs, there's no point for these GMs to really take any huge risks anymore. And so that's where I'm at. I really love the Randy. I really like the trade deadline for the Mariners. They just needed one more. They just needed more. Like, this lineup is so bad. Like, trading a Bryce Miller, even, for Yandy Diaz. Like, Bryce Miller and a prospect or two for Yandy. That is the type of risky move maybe you see a decade ago or sooner, when there was one wild card, because you basically have to win the division if you want to make the playoffs. But no, like, Jerry Dipoto can look and be like, hey, we can shoot for the second or third wild card spot and be fine. And if I make the playoffs, my job is pretty safe. And that is pretty lame, in my opinion. So, yeah. I'm excited, though. I'm excited about Randy. Jimmy's looked awesome. Randy's had a good week. His numbers looked pretty underwhelming for what they gave up. But he had an awful April. Like, genuinely terrible. Like, oh, my God. It was so bad. And a very league average May. And then since the start of June, he's been a top 20 hitter in baseball. So that's great. That's awesome. And he's got team control. I love that move looked for the future. It was like, we're getting a good hitter theoretically for the next 2 years and 2 months, which is cool. I really like that. I loved that trade. And we'll see what happens. We'll see if they did really improve the offense enough. They definitely need to get Julio back in the lineup, and hopefully he keeps hitting like he was. And this offense is definitely in a better spot post-deadline than pre-deadline. But it's like, the guys I read off, plus like Tyler Locklear has not looked good. Tyler Locklear has looked quite bad. It might just not be this year for him. He might just need a little bit more time in AAA. He might need an offseason. He just has not looked good. He's looked really overmatched. It's just, you can improve, you can have like, again, you can have what I called an A-plus deadline in a vacuum, but when you're still trotting out regularly Mitch Haniger and Leo Rivas, Cade Marlowe, Jason Vossler, just slop, you're unserious. And the Mariners, they're still an unserious offense, despite the additions. It's still an unserious offense. Mitch Garver is, oh my God, he's been so bad. And man, people are sending him death threats. That is fucking ridiculous. People who send athletes death threats need to touch grass. Like, that is the lamest shit you can possibly do. Criticism on Twitter means nothing to these players, but adding them and DMing them and threatening their families means a lot. They're human beings. But he's been so bad. He's not going to listen to this podcast. I'm okay to say this. He's been awful. Like, Jason Vossler, I'm not I don't want to see more Jason Vossler. I don't want to see more Leo Rivas, but we're going to. We're going to be forced. They're going to shove those guys down our throats. What's interesting and could be super impactful is Jorge Polanco. He's having a month. He had a 123 WRC plus month of July. And if I shorten that to what's essentially the last 2 weeks of July, it's a 170 WRC plus. He's looked awesome at the plate. Like, this is the guy who we thought we were getting for the first 4 months of the season. He's looked calm. He's taking great at-bats. He's impacting the baseball meaningfully. Like, the ball's jumping off his bat right now. He's barreling balls everywhere. 5 home runs in the last 2 weeks of July. Like, that is huge for this team. If he can produce 10 to 20% better than the league average the rest of the way, that's massive. That is what they've been missing at second base. So that's huge. I can't wait for Jerry Dipoto to come out and be like, you know what our biggest deadline acquisition was? Julio, he's getting healthy soon, and Jorge Polanco, he's hitting, baby. That's the biggest addition right there. Hell yeah. Oh, man, I look and I don't want to see, at this point, I don't want to see Mitch Garver in the lineup. Luke Rayleigh has looked awful. He needs to get back to hitting well. He's been terrible the past month. And, like, I don't need to see Cade Marlowe. I don't need to see more Mitch Haniger. I don't know what they're going to do about Mitch Haniger, guys. I simply do not know. What is his, I think, let me look it up real quick. He's owed what? $18 million next year. Let's see. Where are you? Yeah, he's paid $16 million this year and a player option for $17.5 million. What would Jerry Dipoto have to do to get him to decline that player option? What would he have to do? Because there's no way he's going to be able to trade that without tacking on a prospect with it and getting not much in return. What is he going to do? I don't really care if Robbie Ray is good for the Giants at all. I didn't like that trade when it happened. But he's off the team now. It's the fact that they got back Mitch Haniger, and I was pretty underwhelmed at the moment, and he's been awful. He does not deserve to be playing on a contending team. As much as I love Mitch Haniger, it is not it for this team to keep playing him. He's doing a reverse split just to spite the team. They're playing him. They were like, he was going to be a platoon, and he's only hit against right-handed pitchers. I think his WRC plus against lefties is like 6 this year. I don't think that's an exaggeration. I think it's literally 6. I don't know what they're going to do next year with him. And if Mitch Garver's going to be this bad, he's on like $12 million next year. I think his role, if they traded for another guy who could potentially DH at this deadline, his role, I'd be very happy with down the stretch. Backup catcher. And yeah, like I said, no more than twice a week we should be seeing him right now. And mainly against left-handed pitching. It's been bad. It's been ugly. I think I'm going to call it. I could rant more. I didn't have as much time to talk about the current team. But, you know, what's interesting is Brandon Belt is a free agent. Could you imagine if they signed Brandon Belt? I'd take him over. I'd take a flyer on Brandon Belt, despite not having played at all this year, than Jason Vossler and Cade Marlowe and even Mitch Garver against right-handed pitching right now. It's ugly. But that's where I'm leaving it. I'm calling it. Overall, very Jerry Dipoto trade deadline down to the comments made after. I think, again, Randy on the team is amazing. I'm hyped. I loved watching him already. Jim Garcia is great. Justin Turner, helpful. I really wish Yandy Diaz was a Mariner. I got to be honest with you. But we'll see what happens. They played better ball, at least, again, against inferior competition, and then played pretty well against the Red Sox despite dropping the series on an awful decision by Scott Servais to not walk Rafael Devers last night. But it's not getting any easier. They come home for a long homestand, but it's against the Phillies this weekend. That's probably the best team in baseball. The Tigers are not good, but not terrible. And the Mets are playing really well. That's the homestand. I'll be back before the Mets series. Probably. TBD on next week's episode, to be honest with you. But thanks for listening to this one. Appreciate it. Have a good rest of your week, of course. And a hearty go, Randy Arozarena. Go, Seattle Mariners.